AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Wendy Gillette in Phoenix. Still no deal to raise the debt ceiling, but there is a little more wiggle room after the Treasury Department extended the deadline when the U.S. will no longer be able to pay its bills. CBS's Sarah Ewald Weiss reports.
Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen wrote to congressional leaders that the so-called X date will come June 5th if Congress does not act. The Treasury Department is set to make more than $130 billion in payments in the first 2 days of June, including to Social Security and Medicare recipients, as well as veterans, which would leave the government coffers extremely low on funds.
The Texas House is set to hold an impeachment vote later today against Attorney General Ken Paxton. He faces allegations including bribery and abuse of public trust. Correspondent Tom Foti.
Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton is fighting the move by his fellow Republicans to have him be impeached.
They have denied me the opportunity to present the evidence.
After years of allegations and investigations, the Texas State House plans to vote on 20 articles of impeachment against Paxton. If that carries, the issue of removing him from office goes to the Texas State Senate.
South Carolina is forced to hold off implementing its restrictive new abortion law. A judge has ruled the state Supreme Court must review it. CBS News legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum.
The new South Carolina abortion restriction isn't all that much different from the one the state legislature passed and the governor signed back in 2011. That measure was ruled unconstitutional by the state Supreme Court.
Chicago's inspector general says dozens of city police officers should be off the force because they filed false reports.
It all centers around the Chicago Police Department's Rule 14. That forbids police officers from filing false reports. And when they do, they're supposed to be fired. But the city's inspector general says she found more than 100 current members of the police department are still on the job, even though they'd violated Rule 14.
WBBM's Bernie Tafoya reporting. New York City has banned discrimination based on height or weight. WCBS-TV's Marcia Kramer explains why it's a problem.
Weight discrimination is widespread, but reportedly hits women the hardest, especially women of color, and they're paid less. A study by Vanderbilt University discovered a so-called wage penalty. Overweight women earning $5.25 less per hour.
Air travel is hitting levels not seen in almost 20 years this holiday weekend, according to AAA, with nearly 3.5 million Americans flying. Nancy Carter flew to Atlanta.
The airport in Indianapolis was the busiest I've ever seen it, and I've been traveling out of there for 40-some years.
This is CBS News.
Need to hire quality candidates fast? You need Indeed. Their powerful hiring platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all in one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
2020. That's the vision at Holtebeck Eye Center. At Holtebeck Eye Center, they provide the most professional and compassionate care in the industry, from your first call to follow-up after treatment. If you've been dreaming of seeing clearly again, Dr. Holtebeck can restore your vision with expert care and attention to issues like cataracts, glaucoma, and diabetes complications. You'll not only see better, but feel better too. Don't wait any longer. Improve your eyesight. Visit Holtebeck.com. That's Holtebeck.com.
Did you know Broadfest, the annual Memorial Day weekend event in Madison, is 40 years old? Its history is pretty rich, too, when the grocery store-owning Metcalf family set up a brat tent in the store parking lot to sell brats to customers. By 2004, more than 180,000 brats were being sold in the parking lot. Okay, so now can you guess how many gallons of ketchup are needed for the brats every year? 30 gallons? 45? 74 gallons? The answer coming up. These days, the fest isn't just about the brats.
You know, we have a kid zone, we have a farm zone, we have a sports zone, just not really like anything else.
That's Michael Alexander, one of the organizers.
Roughly 150,000 of our closest and dearest friends.
And more numbers, 4 million brats over 40 years, raising $2.5 million, supporting more than 120 nonprofits. And the amount of ketchup used, 74 gallons. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome to Mount Pleasant in Racine County, your next vacation and business destination. Just 30 miles south of Milwaukee and 60 miles north of Chicago, Mount Pleasant offers scenic parks, an outstanding hiking and biking trail system, and plenty of dining, entertainment, and shopping options. But Mount Pleasant also offers endless opportunities for economic growth, making it the perfect place to establish your company. Help celebrate the sixth season grand opening of the Franksville Craft Beer Garden on May 19th. Log on, enjoymtpleasant.org.
Ready for our little forest adventure?
Yes!
We're here!
Whoa, that was fast!
There's a forest closer than you think. Find a park or forest near you and music inspired by nature at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by USDA Forest Service and the Ad Council.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
Welcome to the No Sour Ha Ha Fun Time Power Hour.
You need some whoop 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 boing, you know?
Absolutely.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Hello, Wisconsin! Welcome to the last hour of this week before the Memorial Day weekend. And do you have plans to go see the much-anticipated Little Mermaid this weekend? It comes out. And someone, our next guest, already saw it. Welcome back to the show, Matt Miller, who is the culture editor at On Milwaukee, where he writes about movies, television, sports, music, and beyond, and joins us once a month to give us a pop culture report. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
We're ready for the weekend. Very
heck
so.
Yeah. Yes, please. Check, please.
Check, please. Slams laptop till Tuesday.
So, you saw it? I did. Were you a Little Mermaid person growing up? Like, was that like a favorite Disney animated princess movie for you?
Yeah, I don't think I was ever obsessed with it, but I certainly tried my best to be able to sing Part of Your World many times. And I don't think I ever succeeded. But yeah, it was in the repertoire. It was like, because I was born in 86. So like that like height of Disney films of Little Mermaid, Beauty and the Beast, Aladdin, Lion King, like that stretch like was my golden Disney years.
When like Pocahontas came out and you were like, oh, I may be growing out of this.
Colors of the Wind is still a great song though. The music for that is still it does not age well as far as like how it's problematic in certain ways. And like, but
how could a movie with Mel Gibson's voice and it be problematic? I don't understand how that could be possible.
Mel Gibson was the voice of John Smith.
I'm pretty confident. Yeah. Let me double check that.
I guess, but if it was the 90s, like he was still in a lot of good graces back then.
That's before he.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, he was still. I mean, What Women Want still.
Oh yeah. The John Patriot.
The Patriot. Yeah. Mel Gibson voiced John Smith. A sentence that you could not say now. It's just a bad idea across the board. Unless you really wanted to do like him as a villain in the movie, which would be the update. Weird how Pocahontas has been skipped over in the Disney live action remakes. Weird how they just bounced right over that one. They're like, Moana, we'll do Moana.
We'll
next.
Do Moana. All right. So what did you think? What should we look forward to or not at all to the live action Little Mermaid?
So my stance on these Disney live action remakes is that they are the opposite of art. They're utterly useless. The Lion King live action remake was an atrocity, and a waste of everyone's time. And we still forked over $1 billion to that absolute lifeless body husk that was the one thing I got to remake. This is better than that.
Okay.
So progress. It still has the same problems of, do you remember, you know, Under the Sea and how exciting and vibrant that looked in animated form? Well, this doesn't look as good as that because the live-action version of it just looks like CGI gunk. Just looks, and you know, in the original version, all the creatures had faces and they were performing and smiling and there was personality. And now it's a bunch of lifeless sea fish and it just doesn't have the same energy to it. Also, The Little Mermaid, the original, was a tight, like 85 minutes long. Perfect. Like full of personality, lots of energy. This is now a over two hour long movie with a bunch of new songs written by Lin-Manuel Miranda's table scraps that he like tossed them just like, I don't know, I have this rough draft here, use it. It's a song called Scuttlebutt. Everyone's going to hate it. So it's better. I think Halle Bailey is a genuine star. I'm looking forward to her being in the Color Purple musical adaptation that's coming out around Christmas time. I think that will probably do her better than this movie, in which she spends half of it being a very unconvincing CGI mermaid. You know, we saw Avatar this past Christmas. That's incredible CGI. That turned that world into a reality. This one, you look at the mermaids and you're like, none of you are moving right. None of you seem like actual beings. And it's been such a long time since I've seen the original Little Mermaid. And I'm amazed how much of the kind of narrative push and the emotional push belongs to the men in the movie, that it really is about the emotional growth of the father. Of the father learning to let go and to let Little Mermaid go and be with Eric, and how it's about Eric, you know, falling in love and learning about her as a person. I just kind of find that odd. And I don't know, I'll be interested to rewatch the original and see if it feels the same way, that it feels like, oh, like the dad's the one who goes on the emotional journey here. Like Ariel goes from, I want to be on land and I've fallen in love with this boy, to at the end being like, I'm going to be on land and I've fallen in love with this boy. The father's the one who's like, no, I can't let go of my daughter. I refuse. Like the upper world is not to be trusted. And then at the end, he's the one who's like, no, I have to let go. I'm letting my daughter go. That's the father's story then. He's the one with the kind of biggest emotional arc. It's odd.
And I actually think that is the truth. I think that's the same with the animated film.
Yeah, and I think maybe it feels a little bit better because in the original one, they commit wholehearted to the love at first sight stuff, you know, the fairy tale romance. And these new Disney movies are really trying to update these and make them seem a little less shallow, a little less easily criticized of like, oh, you're going to give up your entire family for a guy you literally haven't talked to.
Give up your literal voice.
Yeah, but in the process... it kind of doesn't really have that same romance. There's no romantic heat. Like that we're trying to fill out this relationship, but in the process, we've kind of forgotten that there should be chemistry between these two actors and chemistry between these two performers. And my apologies to, you know, dollar store Ryan Gosling, whose name I will never know because he will probably never get a meaningful role after this movie, honestly. You know, he's okay. He's fine. He's passably handsome. But there's just not much there. I just it's fine is what I'm getting to. Your kids are going to be fine with it. No one's going to be unhappy except for me when this movie makes more money than all of the good movies that come out this year.
Our guest is the culture editor for onmilwaukee.com. Matt Miller is here and we're talking about the new live action Little Mermaid. I wanted to go back to that song that you mentioned, Matt, Scuttlebutt, which I didn't realize was by Lin-Manuel Miranda, because I love the music that he did for Moana. I thought it was, I just loved it. I thought it was a great score. But that was showing up on my Twitter feed yesterday about how Scuttlebutt, that song, this new song, is just a piece of dreck.
Really?
Yes.
And it's kind of this spoken half spoken word, half rap, half song thing. It's sung by Awkwafina, who I think is a very entertaining performer. But at the same time, not I wouldn't say the best singing voice I've ever heard. And it just kind of, it feels out of place. It feels like, well, we've got to build out new songs. We have to prove why we're doing this for something. So here are some new songs. There's a new song for Eric, too, that is utterly and completely forgettable. No one will remember that song existed.
Tell me Melissa McCarthy is good, at least, as Ursula.
She's fine, but I'm sorry. Like, all of her scenes are in the CGI Merc, and you remember the original Ursula, such a bright, sassy, like Melissa McCarthy's doing fine, but you know, it's the classic remake problem of nothing in this movie is better than the original Little Mermaid. Why would I watch this version, which is the weirdly animated, murky CGI, longer, you know, bloated version over the really, really great original version that was made for animation, that was conceived for an animated movie, as opposed to one trying to fit a square live action peg into a round animated hole?
Well, I probably will still see it. Maybe not in the theater, but
this is American pop culture right now. We all know and have kind of been like, we know this movie isn't going to be as good, and we know that we probably won't like it as much. But I'll see it anyway. You Hurt My Feelings, the new Nicole Holofcener movie with Julia Louis-Dreyfus, comes out and makes like $2 million because no one wants to take risks and see new movies out in theaters anymore. And it's a shame. But that's Old Man Yells at Cloud rant number 5.
Yeah. Well, we have 3 minutes until the break, and we still have you on the other side of the break. So talk. Which topic do you think we can do in 3 minutes? Vanderpump, writer's strike.
Let's get Vanderpump out of the way now, okay. Because it's funny to be like, why won't people see good cinema? Also, Vanderpump Rules is the best show on television.
Is it worth watching? This has taken over my timeline. I am not a reality TV person.
It's tremendous trash.
Okay.
It's peerless garbage. It has like the Real Housewives trashiness and sassiness to it, but the weird thing is there's like a relatability because these are like working class LA bartenders. Like, you go into their apartments and they're kind of like shabby apartments. These people are like, so there's like a relatability level to these messy, terrible people. They're borderline sociopaths. And obviously the Scandoval stuff, which, for those of you who don't know, two of the long tenured cast members who've been together for pretty much the entire series, it was revealed he has been cheating on her with her best friend. And it is Jane just eye rolled out of her skull. But it's been extremely satisfying to watch everyone kind of be like, this guy sucks. And we have now had part one of a reunion special where everyone just kind of took turns using him as a verbal speed bag. And it's just been very entertaining. I'm not going to say it deserves any awards. Maybe the Pulitzer, honestly, maybe. but it's great trash. I'm having a lot of fun with it. And, you know, Bachelor has kind of felt a little old, a little dusty at this point, formulaic. Real Housewives, it's kind of getting hard to be like, how many financial crimes are being committed by these people on these shows? There have been multiple cases now. There's something very enjoyable about Vanderpump Rules. There's something very down to earth about its over the top, excessive drama. I'm enjoying it.
All right. Maybe we'll win a Nobel Peace Prize for bringing everyone together to agree on Sandoval sucks. And but when we come back, we will talk about Cannes. We'll talk about the writer's strike. Matt Miller is with us. Stick around. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Brand it all in the hole. Still you wouldn't change it for a sack of gold.
Did you know Bratfest, the annual Memorial Day weekend event in Madison, is 40 years old? Its history is pretty rich, too, when the grocery store-owning Metcalf family set up a brat tent in the store parking lot to sell brats to customers. By 2004, more than 180,000 brats were being sold in the parking lot. Okay, so now can you guess how many gallons of ketchup are needed for the brats every year? 30 gallons? 45? 74 gallons? The answer coming up. These days, the fest isn't just about the brats.
You know, we have a kid zone, we have a farm zone, we have a sports zone, just not really like anything else.
That's Michael Alexander, one of the organizers.
Roughly 150,000 of our closest and dearest friends.
And more numbers. 4 million brats over 40 years, raising $2.5 million, supporting more than 120 nonprofits. And the amount of ketchup used? 74 gallons. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
Matt Rothschild of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign.
So here we have Jim Troupas, Dan Kelly, we got Michael Gableman, and the question is accountability, democracy, freedom. Are we going to let these forces who are hostile to democracy continue to try to take over our state? They may spout the value of freedom, but they don't want freedom.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. Weekday afternoons 2 until 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Clear skies today with highs around 73. Easterly winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Partly cloudy skies tonight. Lows dip down to about 48. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times again tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 76. Dry with temperatures a bit above average Monday and Tuesday, and highs from the upper 70s to the mid 80s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently,
we're talking
37
the truth.
Degrees.
You can't handle the truth.
And taking names in the process.
This is the Shaw.
540 AM
and 101.1 FM.
WAUK.
Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinair, and we are doing our monthly pop culture report with Matt Miller, who is the culture editor at On Milwaukee. And before we move on to, I want to get your thoughts about what's been going on at Cannes, anything interesting. But to still just finish off the reality TV talk, Jane has a question.
I would love your take on the upcoming, what is it, Bachelor Golden Years, Kristen?
Yeah. The Golden Bachelor?
The Golden Bachelor. So a bachelor featuring all senior citizens, one senior male, and then all the senior citizen ladies vying for this one prize.
First of all, it should have clearly been called The Bachelor Young at Heart, but that's besides the point. I am intrigued. This has been long in the works, actually. I think a lot of people assumed this was a writer's strike kind of solution situation. They have been teasing this and planning for this before the pandemic. And then obviously the pandemic happened and, you know, they had to deal with all of the kind of cultural issues surrounding the show, a lot of racism issues. So now they are finally doing the senior citizens episode. I'm intrigued, I will say. I think it may bring a needed dollop of sincerity and humanity to the show that won't feel canned, because we're talking about people who have lived lives, who may be widowers in a lot of cases, who, you know, these are going to be people with some level of wisdom, one would hope. Now, it would be very bachelor of them to be like, we've got a bunch of senior citizens, and by senior citizens, we mean 49-year-olds. Yeah. That is my concern, that they're going to try to shoehorn this, you know, catty, naive, silly reality show onto, you know, a demographic that has lived lives, that has lived, and I'm not saying it shouldn't be fun, but I think this can be a better version of this show. And we've seen Love is Blind do well on Netflix by having people talk about, you know, real life stuff. The interesting part of Love is Blind is when these people have to go into the real world and figure out how to join their lives together. I think this new Bachelor could do something interesting in that regard, but it's also the Bachelor franchise, so it probably won't, and it'll probably be hot trash.
Exactly, and I think it's going to be like Grandma Vanderpump, with plastic surgery and fake lips. And I just, I have a bad feeling about this. I just have a bad, 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 bad feeling.
Don't say Grandma Vanderpump, because Bravo will try to make that. They will desperately try to make Grandma Vanderpump rules, if not now, 30 years in the future.
All right. Well, the Cannes Movie Festival is wrapping up. Or are we in the middle of it, or is it wrapping up this weekend?
It's essentially wrapping up. Everyone's pretty much seen... All the critics have pretty much seen everything they want to see of that nature.
So what was the big premieres that happened there? Obviously, there's always, Cannes is always, there's incredible red carpets and outfits, and but that's always one of the like top four or five festivals where some of the most anticipated movies premiere. And so from what you've heard and followed, what can people look forward to that sounds good that's coming out of Cannes?
Yeah, a lot of really interesting stuff. The new Wes Anderson movie, Asteroid City, premiered there with Jason Schwartzman, Bill Murray, Bryan Cranston, pretty much every actor in Hollywood is in this upcoming movie. Reviews of that one have been really, really good, and that's very exciting for me. I really loved his last movie, The French Dispatch. I think I'm finally starting, me and Wes Anderson are finally starting to gel. I've always kind of felt a little distant from him. And French Dispatch really hit me. Now, I don't know if it's because it's a movie about writers and journalists, and I'm a writer and pretend journalist. So maybe it was obvious that, of course, that one's the one that spoke to me. But really good reviews out of Asteroid City. People really enjoying that, really liking that one. The new Martin Scorsese movie premiered there as well, Killers of the Flower Moon. Really strong reviews for that one as well. Sounds like, you know, Martin Scorsese sounds more in line with kind of The Irishman and being kind of a serious contemplative movie as opposed to, you know, a Goodfellas Departed style romp, which makes sense concerning the subject matter of, you know, a murder on an Indian Native American reservation and kind of the influx of white America infringing on their territory. Also, on a completely different side note, the new Indiana Jones movie premiered there to a disappointingly lukewarm response. I'm not sure if that's a little bit because, you know, it's Cannes and this is, you know, a bubbly popcorn movie. So, but, you know, I think I do feel like there's a lack of oomph around this upcoming Indiana Jones movie. There's kind of a lack of, even the name Dial of Destiny doesn't really seem to be getting anyone's, you know,
dials going.
Yeah, it's not really cranking the dials for anybody. But I'm hoping that that one's pretty good. I'm hoping that maybe that's just, you know, people being maybe a little snobbish at the Cannes Film Festival. One that I think people should really keep an eye out, though, is called The Zone of Interest, which sounds like a very pretentious indie movie sounding name. But it is the latest movie from director Jonathan Glazer, who did the tremendous sci-fi horror movie Under the Skin with Scarlett Johansson from 10 years ago. This one is about the Holocaust. It's about World War II, and it's about the banality of evil. And everyone came out of that festival is like, this movie is extremely disturbing to watch, but not in the way you're thinking. It is not, you know, it is really doing something interesting and low-key, under-the-skin, crawling kind of take on what we allow to happen, how we allow things to creep into our society. And I'm very, very excited and intrigued. Obviously, you know, everyone's like, oh, this movie is very heart-wrenching and very difficult to watch and disturbing. And it's weird to be like, oh, I can't wait to see that. But obviously, it sounds like a tremendous work of art. It sounds like a very, very emotionally fascinating look at kind of echoes in time, potentially. So I'm very excited for that one, as much as one can be excited about a movie that is going to utterly and probably
destroy you. All right, Matt Miller, as always, thank you for spending time with us on this Friday afternoon. We will see you back in a month. Have a great weekend.
Sounds great. Have a good one, everybody.
All right, when we come back, Am I the Sphincter? We'll close out the show soon. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Southeast Wisconsin informed, engaged, and entertained.
This is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM.
WAUK.
CBS News Brief. The Treasury Department has extended the deadline when the U.S. could default on its obligations if there's no deal to raise the debt ceiling. CBS's Sarah Ewall Weiss.
Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen wrote to congressional leaders that the so-called X date of when the U.S. would run out of money to pay the bills will be June 5th if Congress does not act.
The Texas House will hold an impeachment vote later today that could oust Attorney General Ken Paxton. Correspondent Tom Foti.
The Republican-controlled Texas House of Representatives plans to vote on impeaching the Republican Attorney General and recommending the Texas State Senate remove him from office.
South Carolina's new abortion law won't be implemented until the state Supreme Court can review it. Legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum on the law's impact.
As many people feared last year when Roe v. Wade was overturned, the map of where abortions are accessible is shrinking, especially in the South.
CBS News Brief, I'm Wendy Gillette.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
Did you know Broadfest, the annual Memorial Day weekend event in Madison, is 40 years old? Its history is pretty rich, too, when the grocery store-owning Metcalf family set up a bra tent in the store parking lot to sell brats to customers. By 2004, more than 180,000 brats were being sold in the parking lot. Okay, so now can you guess how many gallons of ketchup are needed for the brats every year? 30 gallons? 45? 74 gallons? The answer coming up. These days, the fest isn't just about the brats.
You know, we have a kid zone, we have a farm zone, we have a sports zone, just not really like anything else.
That's Michael Alexander, one of the organizers.
Roughly 150,000 of our closest and dearest friends.
And more numbers. 4 million brats over 40 years, raising $2.5 million, supporting more than 120 nonprofits. And the amount of ketchup used? 74 gallons. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
We're all familiar with the three what's. What is it? What can it do for me? And what does it cost? At Country Financial, we can help you find the answers with insurance coverage to help protect what's most important to you, all at a price you can afford. So while you're juggling work and kids while trying to keep an eye on your future, we'll make sure we're one of the first ones there when you need us most. What should you do next? Call Matthew Holbrook, your Country Financial representative, at 414-332-2137 and chat about your insurance needs today. 414-332-2137.
A no-holds-barred political conversation. That's Matt Flynn Direct.
This is a scam, and Tucker Carlson is one of the guys. He's one of the guys who said the election was stolen, Dominion voting machines are no good, on the air, but in the background, he's going, this is insane. This is a load of bull. The guy lies for a living. He lies with a straight face.
Matt Flynn Direct, weekday afternoons from 3 until 4 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Guy. Thank you.
You're a douche. Welcome back to the last half hour of our show of the week. This is As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair. And we are very excited to be rolling into a beautiful weekend where it sounds like every corner of the state is going to be sunny and have great temperatures, not too hot, not too cold.
Yeah.
So certainly looking forward to that. And we will be off on Monday. Do we have a rerun playing?
We do have a rerun playing.
Which ones did you pick?
Monday.
This past Monday? Perfect. So yeah. If you missed Monday's show, you can hear it on Monday. There you go.
You're going to be busy doing things too, so.
Yeah. certainly get out and enjoy the day. Certainly, if you have time, especially as this weekend is the unofficial kickoff of summer, and I'm sure that you have boats to go on or barbecues to go to, certainly spend some time reflecting on the fact that the holiday is meant to remember all the veterans who gave their life and, you know.
And their families.
And their families. Yeah. And so that is an important part of this weekend as well, beyond hot dogs and brats and beer.
Exactly.
But all right. So the third, fourth week running, we're doing Emma the Sphincter, which is our take, or our, at least our new name, on taking different submissions to the subreddit called Am I the A-Hole?
Yes.
Where we pick some of the ones, best ones from the past week, and we kick them around. We invite you to let us know if you think the person is right, in the right, or in the wrong. 844-967-2789, because it's people, it's just average people who put in their real-life scenario, conundrum, and are genuinely asking, am I in the right or in the wrong in this thing that just happened in my life? And then people on Reddit, Redditors, give their opinion, and we also now give our opinion.
Exactly.
And so, this first one, so again, feel free to text, feel free to call, feel free to leave a comment on the live stream, 844-967-2789. Am I the sphincter for returning a birthday gift I got from my boyfriend after he insulted me about my colorful past?
This sounds juicy.
Sounds very juicy. Colorful past. I feel like colorful is in the eye of the beholder.
Without a doubt. And I don't think colorful is applied equally amongst the genders.
Oh, no. I would certainly agree with that. All right, here we go. This happened last night, but my phone is still blowing up. I, a female who is 26, dipped into my savings and got Mike, my boyfriend, 27, a PS5 for his birthday yesterday.
That's a gaming system.
It's a gaming system. It's PlayStation 5. I don't know. I don't know if that's the newest one, but I think they all are hundreds of dollars, so not cheap. He knew he was getting the PS5 because he told me that the PS5 is the only thing he wants. We've been together for 4 years, so the cost didn't matter. That is, until I found out what he thinks of me. Some background. When I was 18, I was involved with Jake, a guy who I met online. We ended things after 3 months, and I moved on shortly with Adam, a guy from work. I found out a couple months later that Jake and Adam were actually really close friends, but I didn't know Jake long enough to meet his friend group, so I had no idea.
Okay. It's not like she went after this guy's friend.
No, it's not like it was a friend group and like she left one for the other.
Right. She didn't know that they were friends.
So after finding out, I took some time off of dating, and 2 years later, I met my current boyfriend, Mike. I was upfront and honest with Mike about my past. I don't even know. Is that a past?
She had two relationships?
Two boyfriends that happened to end up knowing each other and you didn't know? Well, all right, whatever. I was upfront and honest with Mike about my past and the fact that I was unintentionally involved with friends. He said he understood and my past didn't bother him. Last night at his party, I showed up with a PS5 and told him and his friends were screaming with joy. His best female friend, Jessica, laughed and said, I wish I was a thought so I could afford a PS5 too. Now, do you know what a thought is?
No. And it's spelled T-H-O-T.
So it's an acronym for that hoe over there.
Oh, how lovely.
So thought is like, yeah, it's a...
You're a slut.
Yeah. So it's like, it's an acronym. It's like another term for slut. I looked at her and with an excuse me look on my face... And she just said, never mind, and walked away. I confronted my boyfriend about it, and he just said, and I quote, she's just messing with you. You can't take a joke.
I hate that. I hate
gaslighting.
I hate that. It's just a joke. Continue.
So I pushed further as to why this girl is even calling me names to begin with. And he said, well, everyone knows you were a thought before you met me. I asked him to explain how I was a thought before him, and he said, you know, messing with best friends. He then pat me on the shoulder and said that it's okay because I'm not who I was back then. And if he could get over my colorful past and thought mentalities to give me a chance, then I could get over Jessica's comments and give her another chance.
Oh my God.
He's lucky he didn't get kicked in the groin. I didn't say anything. I just got up, took the PS5 from the gift table, and left.
Good.
He was pissed.
Too bad, baby.
He literally called me like 20 times, but I didn't care. I was so hurt that I took the bow off, took it straight back to the store I got it from. They happily returned it.
Good.
I thought that was done, but Mike and all his friends, including Jessica, are berating me for being petty, and they're all saying I brought this on myself by making poor choices. I responded to Mike and told him that he deserves better than me, so find someone who wasn't a thought and get the PS5 from them because I returned it. He started screaming how I'm the biggest a-hole for returning it and how I should be happy he ignored my colorful past. I'm thinking maybe taking it back went too far. Absolutely not!
Oh, girl, you didn't go far enough, and you just escaped.
Oh, my God.
You just escaped from what would have been an unbelievably toxic relationship.
I can't believe they'd been together for 4 years at that point.
Unreal.
And nothing was a red flag that this person was capable of treating you this poorly and being this inconsiderate?
Maybe there were red flags that she just didn't include in that. Oh, she should get a prize.
Oh, my gosh. But this is what I mean. The definition of a colorful past. Are you kidding me? That the fact that she accidentally dated people who were friends that she didn't even know that they were friends until afterwards. And even if they were, who cares? Who cares?
And it goes back to as well, why is that term only associated with women? A colorful past. So you had more than one sexual partner.
I think the kids now call it body count.
Oh, okay. That's
what's really, your body count?
That's so romantic. but not for men. They're studs. The more sex you have, the better man you are, right?
It changes. I think it's changing a little bit. Like, I've certainly in my time have called men like, oh, he's sluts. Like, he's an F-boy and stuff like that. Like, there are more terms now. But it's still not equivalent.
It's not.
And it still comes down, I still think it just comes down to men's frail ego of being worried that someone might have outperformed them in your past. And they maybe can't get over that if that's why they want to make sure that you are as close to a virgin as possible before you get to them.
I feel you may be onto something.
This is a clear-cut decision. I don't think that they're like, absolutely not. If that's how he actually thinks about you, the fact that he wouldn't defend you.
Seriously.
The fact that this is how he thinks about you and then told all of his friends. And clearly by the reaction, he wasn't upset that you were upset. He was upset that you returned the PS5. And that's why he was screaming at you. Because he wanted that so badly because I'm just a little boy and I didn't get what I wanted.
Exactly.
You're being petty.
And at least from what I pulled up, those PlayStation 5s range from $500 to $600.
Yeah, so not cheap.
You're a 27-year-old man. Go buy your own toy.
And like the fact that all of his friends had the audacity to call her, like you got out.
She's so lucky.
By the skin of your teeth.
She's so lucky. Gosh, I wish we could call her.
I know. Be like, do not go back to
ever,
this person.
Ever.
Do not go buy back that. And I think that's basically what I've seen so far, because I think there's thousands. There's 2,800 comments right now, and I haven't read through all of them, but most of them are like, no, you are not the sphincter.
Kristen from Iguanago at 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY says, dump the bunch. New friends are on the horizon. Mean people stay mean.
That is true. Thank you, Kristen. This is his group of friends do not care about you. Jessica certainly does not care about you. Jessica probably has a crush on him in the first place.
Good point.
And or if not, they have one of their own flirtation going. But this is cut and dry. Save that money, spend it on yourself. Definitely not the sphincter.
No, not by a long shot. And again, congratulations on your escape.
Man, this was the same thing. I feel like, remember the prank that happened? I forgot which. It was one of the streaming services, and it was a Super Bowl commercial, this last Super Bowl, that they pranked the audience. They pranked everyone by thinking you were changing the commercial, changing the channel, but it was an actual commercial. And I fell for it. Like, Mike and I were watching the Super Bowl at home, and I was like, are you changing the channel right now? But there was stories that popped up. Like, people broke up over that commercial because men flipped out so aggressively on their girlfriends because they thought they were changing the channel that it was like, oh, red flag. No, thank you. I do not want to be in this relationship anymore. If this is how you react when you think I'm changing the channel, which I'm not, it was a prank as a commercial. And so every once in a while, these things, like, this is why you need good friends to be like, this is what I'm mirroring back to you. This is not healthy behavior.
Right.
There's other people out there.
Absolutely. She is so much better off.
All right. Do we have time for one more?
Got to be quick.
All right. Am I the sphincter for not taking my wife's side and siding with my parents? Ooh, that is rough. Background, my wife and I, as well as my brother and his wife, went to visit our parents as we have not seen them in a while. My parents had a box of $300 ginseng. That's really expensive ginseng. In the fridge to be given as a gift for their close friend's wedding anniversary tomorrow. We know this because it came up in conversation during lunch. They also told us to keep it to ourselves to anything, help ourselves to anything in the fridge, but to not touch the ginseng for obvious reasons.
Gift.
The problem came when a few hours later, my parents called us in a panic saying they couldn't find the ginseng and if anyone saw it. I didn't take it, and at first I thought they just happened to misplace it somewhere. However, they insisted that they both agreed on not moving it out of the fridge drawer for that exact reason. All of us denied taking it, and the conversation got more heated when my mom and father started yelling that someone must have taken it since it was only missing when we came to visit. All of us continued to deny taking it, with my wife being really quiet. And then my father said that if it doesn't turn up soon, he'd have to have everyone's belongings checked.
Ooh.
That was when my wife admitted that she took it. Apparently, it was some popular brand that my in-laws mentioned, and she wanted to give it to them, and she thought that no one would notice since it was an inconspicuous place in the fridge.
What?
My mother-in-law later called and said my parents overreacted over such an inconsequential thing and screamed at me that I was an a-hole for not defending my wife. The thing is, in my opinion, it wasn't a small thing. My wife literally stole hundreds of dollars from my parents and tried to lie her way out of it. While I agree with that my parents shouldn't have started yelling and accusing us, I feel like my wife was in the wrong for taking the ginseng in the first place. The situation has caused a lot of friction, and we haven't been speaking since coming home. All right, we're going to talk about this one when we come back, but I have thoughts.
I have thoughts as well.
If you have thoughts, join us for our last segment of the day, 844-967-2789. That is 844-96-PARTY. Would you defend your wife if she stole $300 from your parents? This is As Goes Wisconsin.
You're a big fizzy douche.
But you're still a really, really handsome guy.
Thank you.
You're a douche, you're a douche, you're a big fizzy douche.
And don't die sad and alone.
You're a douche, you're a douche, you're a big fizzy douche.
Hold it, everybody. That's my phone. Hello?
You're a douche.
Give me a big old U-C-H-G douche.
Drum roll!
Did you know Bratfest, the annual Memorial Day weekend event in Madison, is 40 years old? Its history is pretty rich, too, when the grocery store-owning Metcalf family set up a brat tent in the store parking lot to sell brats to customers. By 2004, more than 180,000 brats were being sold in the parking lot. Okay, so now can you guess how many gallons of ketchup are needed for the brats every year? 30 gallons? 45? 74 gallons? The answer coming up. These days, the fest isn't
isn't just about the brats.
You know, we have a kid zone, we have a farm zone, we have a sports zone. Just not really like anything else.
That's Michael Alexander, one of the organizers.
Roughly 150,000 of our closest and dearest friends.
And more numbers. 4 million brats over 40 years, raising $2.5 million, supporting more than 120 nonprofits. And the amount of ketchup used? 74 gallons. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, could potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Highs around 73 today, under clear skies, east winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Partly cloudy tonight, lows around 48. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times again tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 76. Dry with temperatures a bit above average Monday and Tuesday, and highs from the upper 70s to the mid 80s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 39 degrees.
From our little corner of the world where the Pack, the Crew, and the Bucks all rule. This is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK. I'm on my way.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bright. She is Jane Mettner. And we are ending this week on two, I think, very clear-cut Am I the Sphincters?
Absolutely.
The last segment, we talked about a girlfriend who's happened to have dated two guys that were friends that she didn't know. And for some reason, she thought that was worth telling her current boyfriend, who then labeled her as a thought, which is another word for a slut, and her colorful past. And so when she found out this is how she thought he thought of her, she returned his PS5. And then she started to think, well, was that going too far? And we absolutely said, no. Break up with him.
Yes, immediately.
This guy is a jerk. He wants his PS5 more than he cares about you. And then this last one is basically this guy's wife stole $300 worth of ginseng I didn't know ginseng can be this expensive, but basically a gift that his parents had bought for someone else. She took it out of the fridge to give to her parents and then
lied about it
and then is upset that he didn't defend her.
She told, and her parents are upset that he didn't defend
yes!
her.
Yes. And it's like, hey, don't steal things. How did you think that just no one was going to notice, especially if they said they talked about it at lunch. Like, it was a thing. It was a topic of discussion. It wasn't something you just saw. It wasn't like a string cheese in the bottom drawer where you were like, oh, like, who's going to miss this?
Gotta take the yogurt.
And so, no, you were, in both of these cases, not the sphincter.
Haven't you ever met people, though, who genuinely believe that if they have a partner or they're married, that no matter what they do, you have my back. You will have my back no matter how badly I behave. No, I know people who think like that. You stand by me. We're married.
But when
you stand by me.
Steal things?
Look at what people in our society do. And people cover for them and hide them and help them.
Well, in my opinion, that shouldn't be like this.
Oh,
it shouldn't be like that. And so he's definitely not the sphincter. And she is definitely is. Because don't steal things.
Because it's wrong.
Yes. And don't be like, well, I didn't think it was going to be a big deal. It was hidden in such a inconspicuous place.
And now wouldn't you wonder what else has been going on with her?
Yeah. Well, it's also just like how you see the world that you're like, well, I wanted it, so I took it.
To give as a gift, to make myself look good.
Yeah.
I would re-examine that entire marriage.
That's what Todd texted us too. He said, divorce her.
Well, again, it just makes you wonder what else has been going on. What else has she justified to herself that she can do this and expecting that you're going to go along with it because you're married?
And it's interesting because I would say you are a team to a certain extent. I think there is like a limitation though, as far as we are a team, like when it comes to expectations around family time and whose family you spend time with and like what are we doing for the holiday or like, so like there's stuff like that where it's like, all right, we are a team, we're doing this together, we're making decisions together, we have to be a united front. But not when you're like doing things that lack integrity and are not ethical.
But there are people who expect that.
Oh,
there are. And I don't think it's probably not a large portion of the population, but there is certainly a portion of the population that expect that if you're married, you're my partner, you will back me no matter what I did, because that's just what you do. And I think that's wrong.
Is it how you and Paul are?
No. I have no problem.
No.
Trust me, I have no problem pointing out when I feel he's in the wrong.
Literally, I literally put that in my vows with Mike.
I know. I remember. That was great.
I was like, I will also tell you when you're wrong.
Yes.
And when you're about to make a fool out of yourself, but I will still love you after I tell you those things.
Exactly.
But I will. And I will absolutely do it.
We expect that from good friends. Why on earth wouldn't you expect that from your partner?
I know.
Right?
I know.
844-967-2789. Just a couple of minutes left. If you want to check in, 844-96-PARTY. We did get a text from the 262, slightly off topic, however. Jane and Kristen, I'm the superintendent of a local school district. I really hate rainbows. So much so that I had pride flags taken down in classrooms, banned teachers from wearing rainbow lanyards. Most recently, recommended a teacher be fired because she wanted her students to sing a song that included rainbows. Am I the sphincter? I can't imagine that I am.
Oh, wow. Is this a 262 number?
It is. A 262 number.
I'm assuming they're referencing, I don't think that it's actually James Siebert texting us.
I'm fairly certain that it's
I
not.
Don't think that is the superintendent of Waukesha Schools texting us that he is asking genuinely, is he the sphincter?
No.
Fun fact about James Siebert, I was on his Twitter, and he has his responses turned off.
I bet.
He was, I think, last week or 2 weeks ago? It was 2 weeks ago when it was Teacher Appreciation Week. And he just had certain, you know, comments about appreciating teachers and doing things. And I was like, oh, I think this is interesting. Because I was looking it up because I made the video about Melissa Temple.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, if he is getting this much flack, I would assume that people would take the opportunity to let them know how they feel on his Twitter posts, and those are turned off. So that is a fun
factoid. Fun factoid.
And so that is very funny. Thank you for the snarky Friday text.
We love snark. We do like snark.
We do. All right. Well, this was a very fun Friday show.
It really was. Thank you so much, everybody who called and texted. Thank you for your patience. Sometimes it takes me a little bit to get to the phones when we're interacting and stuff. So, and have a wonderful, wonderful weekend. Thank you to all who served and gave our ultimate sacrifice. Yeah. That's why we get a long weekend.
That is exactly why we get a long weekend. So yeah, Jane summed it up. But we will be back on Tuesday at 11. Next week is our last week as a 3-hour show from
right.
11 to 2. The following week, June 5th, we'll start at 10 to 12. But have a great, safe weekend, and we'll see you next week. This is As Goes Wisconsin. I'm on my way, I'm making it. Big time. Big time. I've got to make it show, yeah. Big time. Big time. So much larger than life. We'll be right back.
Cobell Broadfest, the annual Memorial Day weekend event in Madison, is 40 years old. Its history is pretty rich, too, when the grocery store-owning Metcalf family set up a brat tent in the store parking lot to sell brats to customers. By 2004, more than 180,000 brats were being sold in the parking lot. Okay, so now can you guess how many gallons of ketchup are needed for the brats every year? 30 gallons? 45? 74 gallons? The answer coming up. These days, the fest isn't just about the brats.
You know, we have a kid zone, we have a farm zone, we have a sports zone, just not really like anything else.
That's Michael Alexander, one of the organizers.
Roughly 150,000 of our closest and dearest friends.
And more numbers. 4 million brats over 40 years, raising $2.5 million, supporting more than 120 nonprofits. And the amount of ketchup used? 74 gallons. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Shaw. WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.